great gain and godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into this world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of the good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink. And do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. It is your Father in heaven's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And he has already done so. He has given you the kingdom because he has given you Jesus. And Jesus is the answer to the separation from God that fuels all of our anxiety. We're dealing with some separation anxiety in our house right now. Leah, who you met a few minutes ago, has decided that she does not want to sleep through the night anymore, which is awesome. So I'm a little tired. Laura is very tired. And it's been a rough couple of weeks since Christmas. It began, all of us have gotten sick over the last 2 weeks, as many of you, I'm sure, have experienced that end-of-year little punch in the gut that we all seem to get. And that was the point in which Leah decided, you know, I like this thing where mommy comes to me in the middle of the night when I'm sick and hugs me. I think I'm going to do it all the time. So I try to put myself in the mind of my child, what makes her tick, what makes her want to be awake and to scream and to cry. And so I imagine she's laying in her bed and completely unaware of the darkness and that we're asleep and that she should be asleep, and all that she knows is that she's alone. And she's ignorant to all of the other stuff and she just doesn't like it. And so she freaks out. And because we're such smart parents, we recently switched her from a crib to a regular kid bed, and she loved it for a while until this set on. And she figured out, though, that she could get out of her bed and open her door and just wander into mommy and daddy's room. And so we decided that the smart thing to do would be not to put a lock on the door per se. That'd be too extreme. But we did get one of those door handle covers that makes it so little kids can't open the door. And we put it on the inside of her door. Now, on the one hand, that's smart. It keeps her safe. She's not wandering in at wrong times, all that stuff. But I also wonder if it made it worse, because now not only is she afraid of the dark, afraid of being alone, but now she's also trapped, which probably had no effect on her anxiety and her insecurity at all. So we didn't maybe think that one through a whole lot. So not only is she ignorant of what time it is, not only is she insecure being in her room, but she also is at a phase right now where she idolizes mommy. And during the day, it hurts my feelings a little bit when she goes to mommy instead of daddy. It does not hurt my feelings at 3 o'clock in the morning. So she calls for mommy. She wants mommy. Mommy gets up and helps her. And sometimes I am the good husband, and I'll get up and go in there, because she will sometimes call for me in the middle of the night. Except when I get there and I hold her for 2 minutes, it was really just a ploy to get mommy to come in. Because when daddy's awake, then mommy's awake, and then she calls for mommy again. This separation anxiety, it is no joke. So please pray for us. They say that it's part of normal toddler development, and this is just what we're supposed to expect. But I just cannot wait for this to pass. But like every traumatic event in the life of a preacher, it's going to find its way into a sermon. And so I was grateful to God that at least we could talk about it here this morning. Because it got me thinking about this notion of separation anxiety. And what I realized at one time at 3 o'clock in the morning, when I was trying and failing to console her and get her back to bed, that all anxiety is separation anxiety. I was at seminary a couple of years ago. My program, I would go out twice a year for 2 weeks to St. Paul, Minnesota, which in the summer is gorgeous, and in January is awful. And I went out there, and I think it was one of the summer sessions, and I got through the first week of the intensive, and I wasn't feeling well. My stomach was upset. I wasn't being able to eat a whole lot. And I didn't really know what was going on. And we live in, when we're there, we stay in these 175-year-old buildings. And so I was thinking maybe there was pipe issues with the water. I don't know. I was throwing out all these ideas. And a friend of mine said, "You know, Eric, you're just anxious." And my initial response was, "Well, no, I mean, what am I anxious about? I'm here, I'm learning, I'm around friends, this is great." He said, "No, you are separated from your family, you're separated from your church, you're separated from your normal routine, the things that you would do. Of course, it's going to produce anxiety, and this is why you aren't feeling well." And I thought for a minute, and I'm like, you know, he might be right. He might be right. And the weird thing was, the more I thought about it, I did have the other symptoms of anxiety. I was feeling that, but I wasn't aware of it at all. Up until that point, I did not think anything of how I was feeling. And anxiety is like that. We don't know it until someone points it out. I read a study this week that today's high school students, today's teenagers, when they take the anxiety level test, they would report the same level of anxiety as a 1950s mental patient. That we're conditioned in our culture from a young age to just assume that this level of anxiety is normal. And so it sneaks up on us. We aren't aware that we have it. But there are some different symptoms, besides just the physical, that I was feeling. And I want to talk through some of those. The first is ignorance. Ignorance is a symptom of anxiety. And we think of ignorance as someone that doesn't possess knowledge, but I want to talk about it a little bit differently. So let me ask you this. Are you the type of person that avoids new information or new ideas because you're comfortable with your current perspective, your current viewpoint? Another way maybe to ask that question is, think about the cable news that you watch. Does the cable news station that you choose to watch align with your already held political viewpoints? Eric rose his hand. Scholars would call that confirmation bias. That is actually a sign of ignorance, because ignorance is not a lack of knowledge. Ignorance is an avoidance of knowledge. Ignorance. One symptom of our anxious nature. Another is insecurity. Let me ask you this. How many, don't need to show hands, but how many have a hard time trusting others? Maybe even trusting God. You hear the statement, well, just trust God. And you say, I don't know that I can do that. And there might be very good reasons for that. You may have experiences in relationships, experiences in church that make that very hard. But insecurity is a sign, a symptom of an anxious nature. Here's the third. It's idolatry. Now, that's a weird church word that maybe you've heard before, maybe not. So let me ask it this way. Do you care more about what you want for you than what God wants for you? Or even deeper than that, do you even think about what God wants for you? Idolatry is a symptom of anxiety that's rooted in the belief that what God has for us simply isn't going to be good enough. And so we're anxious. This anxiety that comes from separation that we have with God, it's because our daily realities are disconnected from a relationship with God. And the most clear example that I can give of this, if you're still not tracking, if you're still not really on board with what we're talking about, I want to talk for a second about financial anxiety. Because this is the most prevalent, I think, in our cultures, in our families. Statistically, we know that it is the primary issue in 3/4 of marriages. Financial anxiety is the number one cause of divorce in our country. And if the statistics are true, in this room alone, at least half of us live paycheck to paycheck and would face financial ruin if we went more than three pay periods without an income. If that is you, and you're aware of your situation, you are anxious. And you're anxious because your financial reality is disconnected from God. You don't engage God's plan for your finances, and so there's ignorance. Or maybe you engage it, but you just don't trust it. You just don't believe that God is going to provide the way He said that He would in His Word. Or maybe you've engaged it. Maybe you think it's true, but you just don't like it. Your way is better in your mind. Our first Timothy reading says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And culturally, we tend to think of money as the root of all evil. You've probably heard that before. But Timothy says, no, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And you can be rich or you can be poor, and you can make an idol out of money because of this separation anxiety that we have. But then Jesus comes to us in whatever the symptom of anxiety that we are feeling. He comes to us as God's answer to the separation anxiety. And the answer that God gives to this separation anxiety is to end the separation. To come into the world as the light of the world and to tell us that no longer do you need to be ruled by your anxiety. No longer do you need to be ruled by the ignorance or the insecurity or the idolatry, this anxiety that's brought on by our disconnection from God. Jesus says, if you allow me to be the Lord of your life, I will resolve this separation anxiety for you. And in our scripture, he addresses each of these symptoms. For ignorance, he says, consider the ravens, consider the lilies. Basically what he's saying, look around you. Look at all I am doing in the world. Look at all I am doing in your life. Do you honestly believe that I will leave you high and dry? Listen to the promise that I offer you, that never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Allow that to be the new information that you've kept at arm's length because you're afraid of the change. To our insecurity, he asks this question: how many of you can add even a single hour to your life? Another way to think of that question: how many hours have you robbed yourself of by being anxious, by worrying, by living in fear? How many hours have you taken away from the full life that Jesus offers you by being anxious? Jesus says, "Receive my peace." And then finally, to the idolatry, Jesus says, "Seek first my kingdom." Ahead of everything else, ahead of what you think you want, what you think you need, seek first my kingdom and watch what happens. Watch what happens as I demonstrate my power as the only thing in your life worthy of worship, worthy of sitting on the throne. I will resolve your separation anxiety that is leading to all the other anxiety that you experience. The difference between God and my wife and I as parents, I mean, there are many differences. But we, not only is Leah experiencing anxiety, but we're experiencing it too, because we're not sure this is ever going to end. I mean, like, we know it's going to end, they tell us it's going to end, but in the moment, we're in a hurry because we want to sleep. We need rest. We're anxious about that. But God is not anxious. God does not experience the separation anxiety because he knows how all of this is going to end. Every knee bowed, every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, he knows how all of this ends. And so he is in no hurry. And if you choose to live with this ignorance prompted by your anxiety, he'll let you. If you live in this insecurity, if you're one of these people that's addicted to chaos, that's fine. God will let you do that. If you want to chase after what you want and what you think you need, God will wait. But like my friend who came to me at seminary, somewhere along the way, those symptoms will be revealed to you. Someone will point them out to you, and eventually you'll be faced with this question: how's that working out for you? How's the ignorance working out for you? The insecurity working out for you? The idolatry working out for you? Do you have the true life that Jesus offers us, or is it something less? And so what do? We hear this good news that it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and we want it. We want to unload this separation anxiety. I think it starts with just even admitting that there's a problem. Every 12-step program you'll ever see, that first step is what? Admitting that I have a problem. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to repeat after me, okay? Say, I am anxious. I am anxious. Does it just feel good to say it? To get it out there? To admit it, that this is actually true about me? So often we're afraid of just being honest. And we carry these burdens because we think we're alone. We think we're the only one who feels this way. But guess what? You're surrounded by a couple hundred people who just said the same thing you're feeling. You're anxious. It's okay. God knows. We know. And if this separation anxiety that stems from our daily realities being disconnected from God, then isn't the answer simply to reconnect, to reengage? And that reconnecting begins with a word that gets abused in church a lot, that we attach with guilt and with shame, but it doesn't mean any of that. The first step towards reconnecting is repenting. Repentance isn't about guilt or shame. It's about a change of mindset. I believed this thing, and now I believe this thing. Confessing our ignorance, discovering God's promise. Confessing our insecurity, receiving God's peace. Confessing our idolatry and understanding who really has the power, who really sits on the throne, and who really is worthy of worship. And today, we have an opportunity to take that step towards repentance. It's something we do here every Sunday. It starts at the table. When we receive the body and the blood of Jesus in the bread and in the wine, Jesus meets us. He engages with us. We have the chance to unload our anxiety and receive the promise and the peace and the power of God to change us. We receive what it is that God desires for us. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and He has already done so because He has given you Jesus. And Jesus is the answer to the separation from God that fuels all of our anxiety. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.